The character of the first movement of the Ninth Symphony seemed predestined. By the beginning of 1818, 6 years or more before the symphony was complete, we find the following first movement sketches. A D major duet for two horns. This was used in the coda. Scales in demi-semiquavers. Compare this from the symphony. Most important of all, even at this early stage, we find the opening tremolo on the notes A and E. And a two-note figure gathering force in preparation for the great unison theme. But without its double-dotted rhythm. Leading into this, a dominant harmony with an underlying D in the bass. This anticipation was to remain a dramatic harmonic maneuver. Some pages later, there's a suggestion of the opening tremolo in sextuplets and of further treatment of the first subject. Then a double bar and the word Anfang, beginning, an alternative form of the first subject, perhaps. Last reiterated notes marked timpani in the bass at that point played little part in the movement. The extension and development through tied notes was to play a very great part. The sketch for this treatment appears much later when Beethoven resumed work on the Ninth. Then follows a downward scale with cross slurring. And how eloquent a feature this was to become, we'll hear again in the coda of the first movement. The colossal effect of the first movement of the Ninth Symphony, like that of the Eroica or the Fifth, does not call for extravagant forces. Four horns, admittedly. But Beethoven didn't implement his note in the earlier sketches. At the end of the first Allegro, three trombones. Trombones were to be reserved for the trio of the scherzo and parts of the finale, and for character and sonority rather than force. The sketches in the later phases are in any case hard to correlate. We find on the one hand the scherzo theme in its complex version, now planned as a fugal fourth movement. On the other hand, the word finale is now linked with Schiller's Ode to Joy. Two settings, one familiar. And one unfamiliar. Though this does have a certain rhythmic affinity with a known variation. There is a memorandum about a German symphony with chorus and an end with Turkish music and choir, prophesying the percussion in the final bacchanal. A thumbnail outline of the whole work begins. And places the scherzo second. The third movement unquoted is to be adagio. A fourth, presto. And a fifth movement, the ode to joy, or at least its theme. One further remark seems to concern the other planned symphony. Beethoven wrote, in place of a new symphony, a new overture on BACH. Very fugal. This was to remain in sketch. But now let's take up the scherzo of the Ninth Symphony again. The octave leap is restored, but the continuation still seems to try out complexities. There follows a tonal answer, as in a fugue. The angularities simplify until the early inspiration is itself simplified further. There are indications of scoring, horns, for example. The famous three-bar phrasing of the development is indicated by sequences. And the word harmony suggests that the fugal texture was not to dominate everything. The theme of the familiar trio in D major, but in 2-4 time. Again requiring simplification as an afterthought. And the straight repeat sign of the sketch has not yet discovered the subtle difference between the G sharp and the F sharp in the bassoons. These particular sketches, which Notterbohm investigated in an essay published in Zweiter Beethovenianer, they don't, I think, reveal the moment when Beethoven gave the scherzo its unique tonal twist with the second group in C major. This returns to D minor without so much as a C sharp. It has a modal Dorian flavor which reflects Beethoven's growing interest in the early modes. But one further point concerning the start of the scherzo. Over the first of the last batches of sketches I played, Beethoven wrote over the fugue subject gleich, implying right away, that is, with no preamble. This was certainly belied. The introductory 8 bars with the timpani tuned in octaves to the minor third of the chord proved the most electrifying beginning of any scherzo. Various ideas were sketched for the adagio of the ninth. An early example scored for 2 pairs of horns and timpani and in B flat. When detailed work began on the slow movement, we find, first of all, the theme of the episodes, and in A major. Characteristic bass line. The word theme suggests that this was intended as a starting point, and this is also implied by the continuation. Later, the same theme appears in D major with the words alla menuetto. the middle section of this remains as before. And it then folds back to the opening. The main part of this became the first episode of the slow movement, and in this key of D. The marking minuet became andante moderato, but its earlier form gives some indication of the sense of movement required. Then, as late as the summer of 1823, a different theme in 2/4 time appears in the sketches. Contours of this theme show a kinship with the much earlier sonata pathétique, which I'll transpose into the key of B-flat. And the memory of this seemed to strike Beethoven. In July 1823, he tried a different form. Although this was in one sense retrograde, it introduced the idea of the echoed phrases. This echoing of phrases was to become a feature of the cadences, with woodwind answering strings. But a further sketch carried the idea into whole sections of the theme. Were then repeated by the wind, and the same with a second half of the theme. The solution? Two marvelous bars of introduction and the perfected theme with its short woodwind echoes. The principle of alternating themes is thus established, with the first, the B-flat one, the subject of increasingly florid variations. Yet in the score, the expressiveness and tranquility are offset by the totally unexpected fanfares on the full orchestra that announce the coda. Thank you. was demanded emotionally and formally. It reveals the strength underlying the lyricism, and it provides a needed dynamic contrast. There is strength, too, in the very end. A sketch for this. Notice the timpani fifths and the part they play in the finished work. The difficult decision then arose over the choral finale and the manner of introducing the human voice. Perhaps then the chorus, Beethoven wrote. Meanwhile, a theme for an instrumental finale. This became instead the finale of the A minor string quartet, opus 132. A theme in a similar rhythm, among many others, was noted as a possible introduction to the joy theme. And here are other ideas of varying types. Anton Schindler, in his biography of the composer, told of Beethoven's obsession with the finale problem, how to justify the setting of Schiller's ode in a symphony. "I have it," he suddenly exclaimed, pointing to a scribbled-down recitative, "Let us sing the song of the immortal Schiller." Well, this, like Beethoven's musical jottings, was but a sketch, and first, instrumental music must be found wanting. Instruments, then, will strive to become articulate, and especially the cellos and basses in their recitatives. As the previous movements are reviewed and rejected, Beethoven, in fact, wrote words in the sketches over the recitatives. Was the whole process once thought of as vocal? The words, at any rate, give us a clue to the interpretation of the introduction. Here's the initial fanfare as it appears in the sketch. Then, over a recitative, whether for voice or, as it became, for cellos and basses, we see the words, "Today is a festive day to be celebrated with song." Further outburst from the orchestra. And a reminiscence of the first movement. And over the next recitative, Beethoven wrote, "Oh no, not this, something different and more pleasing." The scherzo is recalled. But Beethoven comments, "This is no better." Even the adagio is turned aside. But but this is more reluctantly rejected, to the words, "It is too tender, we must search for something rousing." Then, and notice the unusual key in the sketch, the joy theme is suggested. And Beethoven acclaims it. That's it, now it is found. This, like the other recitatives, was reshaped. Notice the absence of the written appoggiatura in that notation. This supports the idea at this stage of a vocal commentary. Beethoven's ultimate decision to leave the introduction, including the arrival and the acclamation of the joy theme, to the orchestra has often been criticized. But the interruption of this acclamation, the flashback to the beginning, and the briefest summary in words is as Beethovenish as it is dramatically valid. Theme was not so easily found by Beethoven himself. Other ideas had been tried. The familiar opening had been arrived at. Section of the theme, however, evolved bar by bar, shown in these successive sketches with their constant rewritings. So often in Beethoven's sketches, we see his genius at work. We are reminded again of his own words, "I carry my ideas with me for a long time, rejecting and rewriting until I'm satisfied. Since I'm conscious of what I want, I never lose sight of the fundamental idea. It rises higher and higher until I see the image of it, rounded and complete, standing there before my mental vision.